The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
And welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is ReviewParty.com, the only podcast that doesn't endorse Jason Statham's rascal activity. That man is up to no good.
He's menacing society.
He's menacing. He's driving cars fast. He's always grimacing. Would it kill a guy to smile?
It might.
In between the Jason Statham talk, if you're lucky, there might be a couple internet reviews that we make fun of for the laughs. That's yet to be seen.
I've got some. I hope you do.
I've got a few, but I was trying to keep it a little secret, honestly.
Oh, shoot.
I have to keep my adrenaline up above above so much or else my heart will explode. So the excitement of having a secret was the only thing keeping me going. I'm afraid that now I could die any minute.
Well, we have no choice but to carry on then.
I guess so. Let's get as much podcast out as we can before my untimely death. Why don't you give me one of those reviews?
All right. I've got – this is a little bit of an appetizer. It's not a bite size. It's not a full meal. But I think it's just right. You know, we aren't sure what we're in the mood for yet. So I have a Google review of Nose Hill Park in Calgary, Canada.
I hope it's shaped like a nose.
I didn't check out the topology, believe it or not, but it's a hill. It's got
to
be.
You seem like a topology guy to me.
I'm a topological goober, yeah. In any case, Kate Adatsanova writes, "Well, I don't want to sound judgmental, but I'm from Vancouver, and this view is pretty dull until you get to the top, 1,200 meters, and look down at downtown Calgary. Perfect for bikers, dogs, family activities, many spots to park your vehicle. 4 stars.
Wow. All right, then. Just gotta... Listen, this view for a good Canadian city liver like me, not that great, but... I'm kind. I'll still give it 4 stars.
Yeah, they don't know what real views look like here in Calgary.
These Calgary views? I mean, they're naming hills after noses. What can you expect after body parts?
That's true. Yeah. You're looking down at the corpse of the landscape.
At best, you know, you get to see the little the cleft in the lip. That's some cars parked in it.
This is starting to scare me.
Yeah, you know, the idea of being a small man on a nose that is as large as a hill is unsettling to you.
Yeah, you'd fall right in with one.
I just quickly Googled British Columbia Mountains,
mm-hmm.
just to see if they had any cooler names. And they, in fact, do, unfortunately.
Oh.
We got Groose Mountain here.
I like Groose.
We got the West Lion.
What?
We have Crown Mountain, which you think would be close to Nose Mountain.
Yeah, just a little bit north.
There's also Unnecessary Mountain. Did we name that one? It's one of the bigger peaks on the mountain range there.
That's, a popular hiking destination. Some map maker's joke or something. this one, it looks beautiful, and then there's just, you know, there's one over there.
If we took out this mountain, nothing would change, folks. This is kind of, it's kind of unnecessary.
What really stuck out about this, though, this review here from Kate, I wouldn't expect this attitude from a Canadian.
Oh,
you know?
You don't think Canadians have city rivalries?
I guess I've never considered it. They do have hockey and probably casserole competitions.
This is reminding me, my mother-in-law, she works at a school. One of her students, as a present, gave her a Toronto Sharks jersey, at which she proceeded to, tell us about how much she hated it, because she hates Toronto and she hates the Sharks.
Toronto Sharks. I wasn't aware there were many Sharks in Toronto.
And they all play hockey, if you believe it.
That I do believe.
Man, it'd be scary. You're out on the ice trying to shoot the puck and you see some fins
cutting through the ice. That's rad. Yeah.
That is rad. You ever see the show Street Sharks?
No.
The cartoon? Oh, that is rad incarnate. You should Google that up right now.
I've seen images of it, yes.
I used to have lots of VHSs and lots of action figures. I love that show. For those who don't know, Street Sharks is the most radical show ever to be on TV. It's about four, I would say, extreme sports athletes that fall into a mad scientist's grip, and their genes are spliced with various kinds of sharks, and they become half human, half shark, extreme sports, crime fighting, bad dudes. It's a good time.
It followed on the heels of TMNT, so everybody and their grandma needed to develop their own sort of foursome of creatures. That's where we get the Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks movie came first, but they made the show, the cartoon Mighty Ducks, crime fighting, hockey playing ducks. Yes, Battletoads. What the heck else is the Land Sharks? Obviously, biker mice from Mars.
Yeah. After you get past Battletoads and Mighty Ducks, there are some bad ones. There are some ones you never want to see. The Kung Fu Frogs and shit. But I always liked the sci-fi angle that Mighty Ducks took on it. I'm kind of into that show.
Yeah, it was certainly a bit darker than it needed to be.
Would you say Gargoyles is a spin on Ninja Turtles? Or is it sort of its own thing?
Ooh.
I feel like if there's no Ninja Turtles, there'd be no Gargoyles, even though Gargoyles deviates from the formula quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just screaming children outside. That makes me want to read this review. I have a review for some colorblind glasses. This is a nice little hors d'oeuvre here as well. This is from Amazon. User Cedar Point 7142. Titles their review, meh. Did not work very well. Everything just had a red hue to it. Made some colors I haven't seen before pop out better. Otherwise, it just makes everything red and ugly. Wouldn't recommend. I'll just keep being colorblind, I guess. Sad face emoji.
Oh, no.
2 stars.
I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I guess your target when you're leaving a review is always the people who made the product or provided the service.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just like an unhealthy level of maybe a little bit of self-deprecation, but also like guilt baiting, if that's a thing, if that makes sense.
Sure. You think they're a little, they're trying to get something out of this.
Yeah. You're playing Eeyore card over here. Oh. Thanks for noticing. No, shut up, Eeyore. Yeah, we know your life's a little rough.
Yeah, they put his house back together. Oh, next week when the windstorm happens, you'll have to come and put it back up again.
Like, come on, Eeyore. We're all living our best life that we can. We're trying. We know circumstances are different for you. You hate red. It's ugly.
You hate red. I mean, This is a weird one when you look right at their review. They do have the lens type listing for colorblind, and they got the little 60 with the tiles, and they have the different hues you can put over it to see how it affects you. This seems like the kind of thing you should go see a doctor for and be like, they're like, oh, you need this kind of frame. You don't just willy-nilly be ordering off Amazon and have expectations that your lifelong the genetic defect is suddenly cured.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go under for surgery. I'm going to need some sort of local anesthetic. Let me hop on Amazon real quick and see what they got.
I think this heavy-duty CBD will do the trick.
Yeah, it's on sale. Snip that coupon.
Nice, nice. Yeah, the expectations seem really high here. I mean, I'm not colorblind. I'm lucky enough. I know I have lots of friends that are, but I figured, you know, we're not curing that until cybernetic implants come along, until people are walking around looking like RoboCop. Right.
Or some sort of crazy stem cell we just squirt in your eyes. I don't know, man.
We're going to make a miniature little construction force of people. They're going to install some new rods and cones.
Yeah, yeah. Just grow some new eyes behind the ones you already have, and the old ones just pop out.
Yep, when they're ready, don't worry. They'll just pop out. You won't feel the thing. Me a little messy, maybe.
But hey, you get a bouncy ball with every purchase.
I do love a good, like, vending machine bouncy ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just getting sad. If you're colorblind, you can't look at a vending machine full of bouncy balls and experience it the same way I do.
Or gumballs, same thing.
Gumballs? Who knows what fucking flavor you're chomping into? Oh. After you chew it, you won't even know. I feel like you need the color to inform the flavor you're about to have.
Right. 10 seconds later, they're all the same anyway, but that initial chomp, it's there.
You get the white one, and you're like, this is supposed to be pineapple? And then you chew it, and you're like, okay, I'll play along, white gumball. You got you got some meat? You got a meaty one for us?
I do have some meat. This one should be fun. I have a Google review of the Louvre Museum.
You love to hear it.
You love to hear it. The famous Museum of Art and Culture in France. And Google user Rehar Rahimi writes, "The size of the Louvre will make any museum goer amazed and at the same time terrified. The rooms are well planned and eye-catching. However, Louvre is surprisingly bad at giving any information outside English. Most information panels are in French only, which is a baffling attitude. So you are stuck with either not knowing what is what, or paying for the audio guide. Audio guides are provided in partnership with Nintendo, of all possible companies. And you use a Nintendo 3DS to interact with the map and listen to the audio guide. However, again, not all rooms have audio guides, and most of the time the guide is talking in general about the room. So, next choice is activating Google Translate and trying to get the text translated if you are interested in the information. Louvre holds the entire world's historical artifacts and the artworks, and yet can't or won't bother to use English information panels. For shame. Anyway, if going to the Louvre, you will need really, really good shoes to walk in, or you will end up limping when you leave. 3 stars.
Maybe this is a little too roundabout for most people, but if you care so goddamn much about reading what's at the Louvre, how about you just learn French, dude? Why is that so off the damn table? Why is that out of the realm of reality? Learning a language takes a long, long time. But I don't know, this dude seems pretty feisty about not being able to read in French unless he's got his Nintendo DS along.
I can't believe that they do that.
I heard about that when that happened. I read an article about it. Yeah, Nintendo got a partnership. Bring your little DS. They give you a little cartridge to put in there.
It's a cartridge.
I think it's a little game cartridge.
Oh, jeez.
And you walk around. You take a little. There's like little QR code type pictures on the walls. You scan them.
Sure.
And then you get to Mr. Shigeru Miyamoto tells you about the Louvre.
Hey, that's Mona Lisa. Now shoot at her face. Shoot at her face.
That's do you really need someone in English to tell you that's the Mona Lisa?
I would hope not. Like, hey. What the heck is that line for? Everyone's in line to see that one painting. What do you think that is? No, there's no sign beneath it. That's strange.
I wish I could. There's just a woman sitting there. She could be smiling. She couldn't be. I wonder what art that is. What picture? I wonder what the title is. We'll never know.
I forgot. I grabbed a second review from the Louvre. Mostly just because it's, say what it is, it's stupid.
Whoa.
This review comes to us from Keefy Toe, and Keefy writes, crowded. Urshers are unfriendly. If you are working as an Urshir, it's your job to be patient and guide the tourist. Arrogant Urshers should just stay home and sleep. If you are not into art, avoid coming. And normally, I've said this in the past, if someone has a typo or something, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure, sure, sure.
But if you spell it Urshir three times, there's only so much I can do. That's your intent, I am taking.
Right. Well, from the window to the wall, you know what I'm saying?
All right. I guess I forgot the hidden gem in there. If you're an arrogant usher, just stay home and sleep. That'll fix everything.
Just stop showing up to work. Just live a life of poverty. Just die of starvation if you're an
arrogant
usher.
That was a one star. I forgot to say, but I'm going to use that excuse at work. Boss, I can't come in. I'm feeling a little arrogant today.
I'm a little too arrogant. I don't think anyone wants to deal with me.
It's not going to be a good time for anyone. Right. And I would know.
Right. I'm suffering for everyone here. Just sitting with my arrogant self, thinking my arrogant thoughts. I don't want anyone else to have to deal with this. The ushers, they thought... I imagine the ushers are like, man, these 3DSs are coming in here and taking our jobs. That's why they're a little pissed off.
Yeah. Some dang little Game Boys coming in. Yeah, the ushers are probably French, so they're already angry and arrogant just sure. From the day they're born.
Right. They get a job at the Louvre. You think they'd lighten up a little bit? No.
Uh-uh.
The arrogance was cranked up the day that Shigeru Miyamoto showed up with his Santa sack of Nintendos.
He's just prancing around. Game Boy? No.
To be fair, Japanese people do love France.
Do they?
More than Japan, I would say.
What?
Japanese people love France so much that there is a hotline for people that go to France and get depressed because it doesn't live up to their heavenly expectations.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called Paris Syndrome.
No.
To quote Wikipedia, Paris Syndrome is a sense of disappointment exhibited by some individuals when visiting Paris, who feel that the city was not what they had expected. Condition is commonly viewed as a severe form of culture shock. In Japanese, it's known as perishogoku. Yeah, okay. It's noted particularly among Japanese tourists, but is is common among all residents of Eastern Asia, China, goodness. Singapore, and South Korea.
That is... I don't want to overspeak here, but that's almost taking a review and turning it into a condition.
Sure.
Like, your personal review of France is so bad that now you've been diagnosed with Paris Syndrome.
They already had pre-written their 6.5 out of 5 star review.
Right.
And when they realized that Paris is just a place like anyone else, here are some of the symptoms they feel when they realize that Paris is probably just a 3 or 4 star. Acute delusional states, hallucinations, feelings of persecution, such as being a victim of prejudice, aggression, hostility from others, derealization, depersonalization, anxiety, psychomatic manifestations such as dizziness, sweating, and vomiting.
God.
You ever been so disappointed with your vacation you go in a spiral of derealization to the point where you're vomiting all over Paris?
Not yet, but you never know. I haven't been to Paris. Maybe I'll just never go. Just keep that perfect image in my mind.
Yeah, Mayuki Kurusama in 2006 says the Paris embassy has deals with about 20 or so of these cases a year.
Now we know. The more you know.
Shigeru Miyamoto's trying to do his part and give everyone 3DSs for the Louvre.
Yeah, bring a little bit of Japan over there, make them feel nice and at home.
Nice and at home.
Always fun times.
Imagine going to Paris, ordering a baguette, and finding out it's just bread to the point where you spiral. You just spiral into a psychosomatic state.
It isn't delivered to my table by a man riding a bicycle.
and it's in a costume. Paper sack.
What is this? This is nothing like the Paris I was led to believe.
Yeah, I blame Paris itself. Their advertising game is a little heavy-handed.
I blame Netflix's Emily in Paris.
I blame Amelie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the colors used in that film. The whimsy.
The whimsy. The faces. People are making faces at each other in that movie. That's what I always remember about it. They should ban Amelie in Japan.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. I got a review here.
Let me hear it.
This one's funny. I got a review here from Amazon for Z Athletic Chalk Ball for Gymnastics. It's a chalk ball. Put on your hands and then your hands are chalky. Congratulations. This is a review by Kyle Bridgeman.
Okay.
Great chalk. This is some high quality stuff, but 2 points. One, it gets everywhere if you have it in your house with little children. Two, if the cops stop by, they will accuse you of having drugs all over your house and will, I repeat, will bring a drug dog in to test it. Luckily, the high is not the same as snorting the other white powder, so you should be fine. Either way, this is some high quality chalk. 5 stars.
Okay, so is this a loose chalk, like a bag, and you poof, poof, or is it a block that then you crumble up?
No, it is like a bag with, what would you say, where some mesh. Of the chalk comes out. Yeah, it's mesh.
Yeah.
You squeeze it, you play with it in your hands, and then your hands get chalked up for gymnastics activities.
Or rock climbing or whatever else, hardcore climbing. Stuff you need to get your dick it's, on.
Yeah, extreme jerking off.
Yeah, well, ouch.
When the grip just ain't enough for your session. Get yourself some Z Athletic chalk ball.
Yeah, you're going to town tonight. You do a LeBron. You all right, Buster. Let's jerk.
the chalk still sweet in the air.
You know, if you did that every weekend, you wouldn't have children running around your house making a mess of things.
Right. You would have suppressed those urges and you would have done your part to control the population issues we're having.
What are the cops doing at this guy's house just like randomly stumbling across chalks?
Cops marks. Don't just knock on houses and be like, there's white stuff. We brought a dog. We are coming in.
Like, are his kids running outside just covered in white dust? And the neighbor's like, oh, Jesus, this town's going down.
These kids, these feral children in our neighborhood are all covered in white dust. They're spinning off of things.
Little dope fiends. They have excellent grip. You should see them on the monkey bars.
They're Spider-Maning up and down the side of my goddamn house.
They have to be on drugs, or they have really good grip. I'm not sure which.
Officer, listen to this. You hear that? That's their little feet on top of my roof.
I don't have an attic.
You tell me those aren't some coked up footsteps.
Knock, knock, knock. Excuse me, sir.
This is Drug Dog. We will be searching the place.
Like, don't touch the dog, kids.
And then you say, officer, look, when you snort this good white stuff, it's not the same as when you snort that other white stuff. Yeah. And you do a line and they go, oh, my mistake. This is obviously gymnast chalk.
Come on, dudes. It's like, it's not even a good high. Let's check it out.
I've snorted like 3 balls worth of this stuff, officer. I'm not feeling nothing.
That's how my boogers come out. Dries them right up.
Yeah, he just sneezes on his hands before he does the pommel horse. this review is full of shit.
You don't need this stuff for your house. Anyone who has this stuff for their house.
Why is it out and about in your house? Don't you have a drawer, a bag?
A special corner of a home office that is, quote, the workout room, but now a home office?
You don't buy a chalk bag for gymnastics and just have it out and about.
Just sitting out.
It's not just chilling on the living room floor. Unless they live in some sort of gymnastics facility.
Yeah, or they're just like, they're dude perfect type people or something. Always trying to catch the wildest thing on video. Like, oh, throw the remote over here. Oh, you dropped the remote. You should have some chalk on your hands next time, babe. Look what I got.
Doing cool bottle flips and dabbing with their chalked up hands. I can't get the right torque on the bottle unless I chalk up my hands first.
Ooh. Yeah, feels good, man. Feels good.
I don't want no one bringing no chalk ball around my house.
No, that's just plain weird.
Yeah, what the heck, man? Keep it at the gym. Keep it at your gymnastics gym.
Yeah.
It's like when a hockey star, if they brought their hockey stick into class with them at school, the teacher wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, they're a cool hockey star. They need their hockey stick. Like, put that in your freaking locker, you idiot.
You don't need to lug your equipment everywhere.
Ballerinas don't be wearing their ballet shoes around. Gymnasts don't be wearing their unitard and they're freaking chalking up their hands out and about. Everything about this review is suspect, Kyle Bridgeman, if that is your name.
Maybe he really loves to do bridges.
A bridge climber.
He's got that too. Aerial bridges, maybe.
I wish there was cool bridges for me to climb by my house on. Bridges suck. It's break time, man.
Let's break it down.
Wicca wicca. Boom. Break.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to me, you, and meme reviews.
It's back, man.
It's back.
I had no idea. I'm excited to see what it is.
Today, we bring to the table an Amazon product. If you're a newer listener and you're like, what the heck is me, you, and meme reviews? Well, welcome to the internet, little kid.
little kid. Get out of here, little kid. Actually, stay and listen to what this is.
And tell your friends. Every now and then, an Amazon product gets a funny review on it that then spawns lots and lots and lots and lots of other funny reviews. Possibly it is even featured on, like, BuzzFeed articles.
Wow.
Or, like, lower-tier news sources. And maybe even back in the day of Ellen, she would talk about it. Or Jimmy Kimmel, the guy your dad hates. And we take a look at these products. We read those funny reviews. And then we do a little work ourselves. Today, I bring to the table, the kitchen table, the Hutzler 571 banana slicer.
Oh, that brings me back. Boy.
Brings us back to our pilot episode,
our
test episode. So no one knows about that except you, me, and the few people who listened. So yeah, we're reaching back in our knapsack and busting out this banana slicer. If you need me to explain what it is, it's a contraption that is roughly shaped like a banana but flattened out, and it's got little slices to slice your banana. It's just kind of a stupid piece of plastic that you could just use a knife for. But somebody thought this is stupid or this is great, and they wrote a review, and tons of people wrote reviews. In fact, at the moment, there are almost 7,000 ratings. So some of those might not be reviews, but still, that's a lot for a stupid kitchen project.
Right,
product.
For a dumb piece of plastic that, I don't know. It's like a wish item. They're selling this just because they can, not because they should.
So as we do on week one of Me, You, and Meme Reviews, we're going to look down some of the funny that exists out there. Actually, before getting to a review, there is a question that someone asked that was good. Oh, I don't see who asked the question, but someone asked, I bought one of these, and from the day I set it down in my kitchen, my bananas have stopped talking to me. What now? And someone answers, be very concerned. My bananas did the same thing. I figured it would pass, but 2 days later, the 897H human slicer arrived in the mail.
This is a big, dumb piece of plastic shaped like a human.
Yep, perfect to slice us up with. Anyway, let's get to these reviews. Amazon user Plum and Kolov titles their review, Does Not Open Time Portals, and writes, well, it does not open any time portals, but then again, it is not supposed to. It slices bananas, and it is pretty damn good at that. 5 stars. So you see, he's aware that people are making jokes.
He's trying to make one himself here.
But not all the way. Like, still, I wanna be kind of serious.
Right, I appreciate that. You know, some of these jokes go too far out there, all right? Is there no limit to what you people will do for ha-has?
Please. We enjoy a good review that is useful, too. And I don't know that we're going to get another one in all this that I read. Tom titles his review, Wedding Gift, ... and writes, got this as a wedding gift. I thought it was for sex. Boy, was I wrong. We had to go to the ER on our wedding night. 3 hours in the ER was not a great way to spend our first night married, but now that we know it's a real banana slicer, this thing really does work. 3 stars.
A little wiener slice joke for the kids.
If you go and check these reviews yourselves, folks, you'll see a lot of ones like, it saved our marriage. I'm not getting any of those. That was closest I'll get, so just be aware. SW3K titles their review, No More Winning for You, Mr. Banana, and writes, for decades, I have been trying to come up with an ideal way to slice bananas. Use a knife, they say. Well, my parole officer won't allow me around knives. Shoot it with a gun. Background check, hello. I had to resort to carefully attempt to slice those bananas with my bare hands. 99.9% of the time, I would get so frustrated that I just ended up squishing the fruit in my hands and throwing them against the wall in anger. Then, after a fit of banana-induced rage, my parole officer introduced me to this kitchen marvel and my life was changed. No longer consumed by seething anger and animosity towards thick-skinned yellow fruit, I was able to concentrate on my love of theater and am writing a musical play about two lovers from rival gangs that just try to make it in the world. I think I'll call it South Side Story. Banana Slicer, thanks to you, I see greatness on the horizon. 5 stars.
That one just makes me think of if there was like a Gallagher who blew up fruit with guns instead of mallets on stage, how would you not buy a ticket to that?
I would see that any day of the week.
The finale is definitely watermelon and bazooka.
I would pay. You got a landmine in there somewhere? Yes.
Claymore and a coconut.
Chandler, Arizona titles their review, 3 bananas at most. No way to slice 571 bananas at one time. My expectations may have been a little high, but I have not been able to successfully slice more than 3 bananas at one time. Not sure how Hutzler can claim to slice 571 bananas with this model. A video demonstrating the proper technique would help. For that reason, I'd rate this item only 3 out of 571 stars. But Amazon's rating system does not seem to be compatible with the product, so I dropped an additional star, 2 stars.
All right, so you need some toothpicks, and you got to be careful, because they got to be, you're not slicing toothpicks here. But you build a tower of bananas. You also need a tall building. I don't know how high 571 bananas stacked on each other is.
Pretty high.
Pretty. It's got to be a few stories. So then you tie weights to each side of the banana slicer.
Oh, yes.
And then that way, you know, you really get some oomph going through some these sort of banana tower.
Wile E. Coyote remedy here. All right. You're kicking up.
Yeah, the Roadrunner loves sliced bananas.
He wants to lure him right in.
And then you just drop it on top of the bananas. They all get sliced. You have a pile. That 571... How many slices you get in a banana? It looks about like 7 or 8, 11.
I don't know. I just guessed.
Around there, that's we're talking a lot of banana slices, people.
Yeah.
But the banana chip companies don't want you to know that technique. They've been using it for years.
They'll be out of business. You buy your in-home dehydrator, you'll do it yourself.
Need a big dehydrator for all those bananas. Need a whole room.
This next review is perfect in every way, even down to the reviewer's name. The Man, capital M, titles his review, The Hutzler 571 Saves the Day. Once again, the Hutzler 571 came through in a pinch. I was making baked ziti for the family when my picky daughter decided that she was going to make a peanut butter and banana sandwich instead. Before the 571, I would have had to stop cooking in order to slice the banana by hand, delaying the meal for the rest of my family, who actually enjoys their father's cooking. The 571 allowed my picky child to be able to slice an entire banana by herself in a single stroke, saving the day. She has requested a revision to the 571 to make narrower slices, to which I told her to take a hike. 4 stars.
Get the hell out of here with that talk! Are you kidding me? Narrower slices. I'm looking at the a picture. It could be fabricated Photoshop. We don't know what these Hutzler marketing people are doing, but I don't think you could get much smaller slices than that without
they seem
integrity being lost.
Yeah, you don't want to get it too clogged up. A lot of people talked about you got to clean it because gooey dried banana not easy to get out of there.
That's what they don't tell you.
Did I say the last review was perfect in every way, shape, and form? Because this one from Amazon user Bread is even better. Bread titles their review and writes banana. 5 stars.
Can't argue with that.
No, not at all. I will do one more. And then we'll say goodbye to the Hutzler for now. This comes from Reviewer X.
Dang.
Reviewer X titles the review, Ending Years of Frustration. I should also point out Reviewer X's profile picture is of the band Styx. Reviewer X writes, When I was a small child, eating a whole banana was an embarrassing, soul-crushing experience. Bananas are so large, and my hands were so small. As I grew, my hands never really became adroit at holding a banana, a pickle, or any long, smooth items, regardless of girth. Thicker made it more difficult. One day, when I was about 17, someone suggested that I slice the banana and try eating it that way. I was confused. Did I slice it like a ninja with a sword? Did I hold it with one hand and cut into it and let the pieces fall into my lap? Finally, I decided to lay it on my leg. As soon as I held this massive... I thought I'd get through without giggling. As soon as I held this massive, long, yellow object on my leg, I began to get nervous. Nothing that long and thick had ever been on my leg before. My hand shook. My heart raced. I became flushed. As I went to cut into the banana, I blinked nervously, and the knife cut just the tip of the banana, but it also took off the top of my thumb and plunged into my leg. Laying there in the hospital, I thought, I would never be able to enjoy the sweet goodness everyone else loved so much. Thanks to this wonderful godsend, I can now slice my bananas and smile as I lay that sweet slice in my wet mouth. Oh, the joy! The ecstasy! I finally feel complete, despite the limp. 5 stars.
That's a funny one. That's all I got to say about that one. That was funny. It's got me thinking, there was a debate at work recently, and I feel very strongly about it. We'll touch on it quickly here. When you eat a banana, do you eat the end of it? The bottom of it, I guess you would say?
Like the little brown nubby?
The little sign? Brown nubby.
Usually. Unless there's like a nasty, it looks nasty. If it looks nasty, no way.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
Sometimes there's a little spine guy there. I'm like, no way.
If I have to go out of my way to eat it, but if I, uncase the banana and it's coming along, I'm probably going to eat it.
Yeah, you get that smooth release. It's golden.
I think if you don't eat that end of the banana because of some, you're scared of it, you weren't raised right. That's wasted banana. Good people at Hutzler wouldn't endorse that. A review here. Well,
ladies and gentlemen, come back next week for review for whatever we do in the second half of this, where I get the product myself, even though it's a stupid piece of plastic and a waste of money. And Amazon is trying to make you buy 3 at a time, but luckily there's another seller where you can only buy 1. So thank God I don't need to buy 3 of these pieces of garbage.
Why would you need 3 banana slices?
You need a lot of banana slices. So
I bet there's people that think they're disposable. They get the banana gunk in there. They're like, let me just get the other one.
Throw it out. Anyway, come back next week for Me, You, and Me Reviews the Banana Slicer Part 2, where I review it fake and for real.
I know your funny one will be funny, but Me, You, and Me Reviews, I get more excited about the real one just because I want to hear some real talk about these products. Enough of the nonsense.
Right. I hope not to let you down. Anyway, please treat me.
I will. I have a review. We did Where the Wild Things review. Where the Wild Things review a while ago. Got me looking at some of my favorite children's books. We also did Corduroy. a couple of my favorites. And I think in the 3 childhood Brent faves, there's one missing. So I'm going to complete the set here today with a review for Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Oh,
this review is written by Book Girl, so it must be legit. They write, "Don't buy the board book format." I purchased this book already knowing that my 2.5-year-old daughter loves the story. The presence of plot alone sets it apart from so many other broad books that rely mostly on catchy rhymes and picture identification. And the fact that a small child, Harold, creates his own adventure with a simple crayon, ultimately solving his own problem, is empowering. My daughter loves to flip through the pages of the paperback version of Harold and the Purple Crayon and tell her own version of the tale. The story sparks her imagination and transforms her into a storyteller. So I do recommend Harold and the Purple Crayon, but I suggest purchasing it in a different format. For one thing, this edition has printing flaws. The page spread where Harold draws a boat is repeated and in an order that disrupts the narrative sequence. See images. For one thing, the layout in the broad book is condensed. Some images are placed side by side that would otherwise be separated by a page turn. This effectively decreases the suspense at all times. For example, in the paperback version, readers see Harold fall off a mountain and don't know how he will rescue himself until they turn the page. Not so in the broad book, where both the fall and the rescue occur on the same page. Suspense is disrupted elsewhere as well. Bottom line, I recommend this child-empowering story, but not in the broad book, or board book, excuse me. Probably been saying it wrong, the horror view. Format. 3 stars.
the suspense is gone for me now a little bit. I guess Harold makes it out of the mountain fall okay.
Oh, yeah. See, without that page turn, they thought the toddler at the oldest protagonist would just splat on the ground and die.
Boom, boom. A little bounce.
No movement. Purple crayon. All you see is the purple crayon roll out of his hand. The close-up stays on the hand and the crayon. And then blood seeps into the shot. That's the gritty purple crayon reboot.
I mean, I guess I agree. I find myself agreeing that I don't want...
No, this review's solid. It's true.
See it all there.
Oh, by the way, would you like to know how he saves himself?
Absolutely.
A spoiler for Harold and the Purple Crayon initiates, but he does draw himself a balloon, a hot air balloon.
Ooh, okay.
And while he's at it, while he's up there, he draws the moon. He's got time for that. I think he drew the moon early. The moon's like on every page. If you had a purple crayon, what would you draw in real life?
Wings.
Yeah, that would have been cooler. Be a little angel baby rather, but I guess that would draw some strange. You know, what is this story an allegory for? He drew little angel wings on himself after he fell off the mountain.
He really died. That's what everyone's gonna think.
Right,
this kid's really dead. He's an angel now. There's no more suspense. I don't need to read.
Yeah, the. Harold and his little antics got me biting my nails, I will say that.
That's thank you. Like, what parent? I'm looking for a good toddler-level story with suspense.
I like a good thriller. I like my child to have an adrenaline shot when they're reading about their purple crayon kid.
Their little heart needs to be beating fast right before I put him to bed. What do you got for that? Cujo? Are there pictures, though?
They want the book to end. With there's a rival child with a red crayon, Steven in the red crayon, and he draws a gun and draws it on Harold, and you have to wait till the next issue to find out.
Oh, I love it. That's how you sell books, man.
I would actually rival character for Harold. That would be great. I think there's a Harold and the Crayon sequel where he's just sort of chilling.
Okay.
But
he's done it all.
Yeah, he's done it all. He's on the top of the mountain he drew. This time he's not falling off. Because of all the riches he's claimed. Do you have a review for me?
Yeah, I do.
A quickie, I suppose.
Yeah, don't worry. We probably won't have much to say about this person. This is an Amazon review for the Ghoul RC boat with simulation crocodile head spoof toy. It is an RC boat that is just, it looks like a fake crocodile head.
Okay. So
put it in the water and people think, whoa, there's a crocodile zipping around all lightweight and stuff. Jack Finley titles his review, Great Boat, Confused Alligator, and writes, great little product. It took me a while to figure out it had to be in the water to connect to the controller. Dumb. Oh, well. But once I got it working in the water, it only has a range of about 30 feet. Not very far. If you put the boat alone, without the head, in the water, it works great. But I found the head creates drag on the boat, and the head does not follow instructions as it does with the head alone. I think they meant the boat alone. But I got it just to cause a, quote, reaction with a friend. And with that done, .. Yeah. 3 stars.
Man, he spent a lot of time talking about the logistics of the head and the boat attachment. But the climax of the review fell short. You turn the page of that board book, expecting to see some angel wings or a weather balloon being drawn. He really sold it short. I want to hear about that prank.
Yeah, I want to hear the reaction. I want to hear, like, did you get punched in the lip, Jack? Did you get pushed in the water?
They put the alligator head in the guy's toilet.
He's doing little circles in there.
See, I would only want an alligator RC car if there was a death roll button.
Oh, you love the death roll.
The kids love the death roll.
That's what gets a visceral reaction. You see a gator pulling those spins.
You look at him and you're like, he is not just washing his jacket. That is not a spin cycle. That is a death cycle. That zebra, whatever the hell he's chomping on, spinning around, doesn't stand a chance.
Done.
I know sharks, you can punch them in the nose or whatever. There's that little wives' tale. I think the death roll is you're just done, right? Alligators don't have a nose punch thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they've got you in their jaws, they have incredible power to close their jaws. If I'm remembering correctly, not as much to open their jaws. But if you're in the land of death roll, it's already too late.
Right. To defeat an alligator in a single combat, you got to have the first move. You got to have either duct tape or hands on jaws.
Yeah.
Keeping them closed. Because if the alligator gets a chance to make the move, you're done. Sharks, there's plenty of chances to punch those stupid fuckers in the nose.
Oh, yeah. They just...
They're all nose. Oh, right. That episode zipped by, man. I feel like we got a whole another half to go.
That was wild.
But I guess not. We're here at the plugs. So thanks for listening. I hope the episode zipped by for you as well, little listener. Little listener with your little earbuds and your little Zune. I know all our listeners love Zunes. thanks for listening. We got new episodes every Tuesday, Reviews Day, hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. That's right, a new reviewparty.com in your choice, a podcast distributor, early Tuesday morning. We know, you know, we're putting it out early. So whenever Tuesday morning is for you, it'll be there sitting ready. And if Tuesday morning is actually on Wednesday morning for you, you can listen then too. We're not telling you, you know, it's in your hands, beautiful listener. What else do I say?
Email.
If you have a funny review for us to talk about on this here podcast, we'd love for you to send it over. Send a link or a screenshot of the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name or a hilarious moniker so we can give you credit.
If you want to interact with us when you're not just like listening to our voices and talking back to the car radio, you can do that. You can get on the social media like Instagram or TikTok. You can find us at reviewparty.com or Twitter. You can find us at reviewpartypod. You can follow. You can like the things that we put out there. You can, I don't know, share the things we put out there. That's probably about it. I don't know what else, but you can go to reviewparty.com where you can find all of our episodes. You can find all the blog posts that are related to reviews. And you can just go to the shop. Christmas is coming up. It's time to consume.
That's right. That's right, my capitalist beauties. It is time to consume. Click on the shop. What's a better little present for a review party? A reviewparty.com fan than a reviewparty.com t-shirt. Maybe a sticker. Maybe 10 stickers. Maybe cash donations to reviewparty.com in their name.
Whoa.
But before you start thinking about all that, I just want to say a very big thanks to our buddies in Nosebleeds for letting us use their jam, Bread for Breakfast, as our theme song. You've heard it throughout the episode. You can find more of their hoppin' tunes on Spotify. Just search for Nosebleeds. It's one word in case you don't own a dictionary. I got a review to see us out here.
All right.
It's funny. I'm a little spoiler alert. It's a funny one. This is a review for the film Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. a middle school classic. This review is written by D.P. They title it, Good Movie for a Nap. They write, stupid, but appealed to the funny bone of my 11-year-old grandson. 1 star.